الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم The fuel for our efforts is the barakat and the tawajjuhat of our elders. And we are constantly dependent on the efforts of our elders and the advice of our elders and the shade that our elders provide. I've shared with you over the last several weeks, many of the lessons that we learned while on our trip with Sheikh Zulfikar for Umrah. And there are, like I said last week, maybe I shared 50%. But each of those lessons is valuable. It's those things that touched our hearts in a very limited period of time. And from those, we learn a tremendous amount, which benefits us both in this life and the hereafter. But one thing that we should always recognize is that just by having a little bit of information, we don't become free of our dependency. We survive under the shade of our elders. Because I have learned a few principles from Sheikh Zulfikar, and even the fact that Sheikh Zulfikar has placed some responsibility on my shoulders doesn't free me from that shade. In fact, I've only become more dependent over time. And this week I learned, this is a principle that I've understood, and I've learned over and over again. And this week, I again experienced the exact same... I experienced circumstances that reminded me of the exact same lesson. So let's go back and skip the Umrah trip and skip the trip before that and go to that trip that I described maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. Maybe it was a year and a half ago. The trip that we had to Dubai, which I described to many people who had come to that gathering, some of the lessons we learned there. Now, when we were making the trip to Dubai, it was a special gathering because it happened to be the wedding of Sheikh Zulfikar. But at that time, we were also very actively involved in trying to establish a place of worship in the sort of side of the city where I live and where many of the brothers reside. So we felt that there was no masjid in that area. We felt that there needed to be a place where people could develop spiritually. And so this was a project that we were working on. So if you recall, I had shared some advice that he had given at that point. We had actually gone to Sheikh Zulfikar at that gathering. And the very first day I landed, I had folders of stuff and I presented all of it to Sheikh Zulfikar. And I said, you know, Hazrat, this is building A, this is building B, this is building C, these are the possibilities, so what do you advise? So if you recall, he had said, he looked at building A and he looked at building B and he looked at, I showed him a few other possibilities, and A and B were very close to each other and the rest were not too close to each other, and A and B were the two that we liked the best. So when I showed him the map of where they were and began to describe the details, he looked at A, which was 27,000 square foot building, you know, bigger than any masjid in Chicago. And he looked at B, which is another 10,000 square feet, about the size of the biggest masjid in Chicago. And I said, you know, Hazrat, which one should we get? So he looked at me and he said, both. And I shared this story with you at that time. He looked at me and he said, get both. And I looked at him and I said, but Hazrat, that's not possible because it was very expensive to get both. And he looked back at me and he said something which is impressed on my mind constantly. But he basically said, what are you worried about? It's not your problem. You are trying to establish the house of Allah. So it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will handle it. It's not you. It's not your house. It's his house. So he'll take care of it. You just have to decide what's best. So he said, and he gave me an example. He said, look, when a person wants to build a house, let's say you want to build a house, you take the plans and you give it to the architect. The architect says, I'll build it. He doesn't worry about how much it's going to cost. You're going to pay for it. You're the owner of the house. You'll pay for it. So he said, in this regard, you're the architect. You just need to decide what's best for the community. Once you've decided what's best for the community, that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's house. He'll take care of it. So we left there, and then he left. There's one statement he said at the end, which rings in my mind more than even this statement, which basically he said, in the end, I looked at him and he saw how basically flustered I was and how almost hopeless I was. He said, look, if you have this much iman, you'll get both. If you have this much iman, you'll get the bigger one. And if you have this much iman, you'll get the smaller one. And in my mind, I wanted to think, well, what if I have no iman? What will I end up with? So anyway, we ended up with nothing. At that time, we ended up with nothing. And we've been working and working and working and working and working. And so recently, as we've been working, a few opportunities arose. And as we were progressing with those opportunities, I started trying to apply the principles that I had learned. And we're still in the middle of this process, but I'm just sharing it with you because it's so dominant in my mind right now. I started applying the principles that I had learned, and I saw property A, and I loved the location, and I loved the layout, and I thought it would be the best for the community, and it was extremely expensive. Extremely expensive. So that was property A. Then we were looking, going back and forth. We saw property B. Actually, B we saw first, but anyway, we saw property B. Property B was a lot cheaper, not as good, but still an excellent opportunity. If we would have had property B, I would be very, very happy about it. So I'm looking at A, looking at B, looking at A, looking at B. I'm racking my mind. I'm saying, you know, what should we do? What should we do? What should we try for? So I say, why do I have to worry about this? I already have the answer. Sheikh Zulfikar made it very clear. Look at what's best for the community, and you just make the decision based on that. So don't worry about the price. Price is irrelevant. This was the decision that I made in my mind. I said, I'm going to close my eyes, forget about the price, even though I think that the more expensive one is actually a ripoff, because it wasn't the value of the property. It was double the value of the property that the person was asking for. Right, so I'm just going to close my eyes, and I'm going to make a decision that we're going to go after this property because it's better for the community in the end, and it's better for what we're trying to achieve. So I completely ignored the other property. I ignored property B, and I started working on property A. And every time I approached property A, something went wrong. The moment I go to see property A, there's a man there, he opens the door, he takes us in, and he shows us the place. As soon as we're about to leave, another person comes, he happens to be the realtor, he looks at us and he says, he makes some negative comment about Islam, essentially. He looks at me and he makes some negative comment about Islam. And then he says, but we'd be happy to show it to you anytime you would like. So then I turn to him, I can't remember if I or my realtor turns to him, and basically we say, thank you very much. And he says, but you don't come here during business hours. So I looked at him and I said, I would not come here during business hours. I would contact you first. I wouldn't encroach on somebody's private business. He said, but you came in here without me and you let that man show you the place. He was very upset because the owner had showed us the place before he came because he was late. So anyway, the more I learned about the whole situation, the more it seemed complex and convoluted and difficult. And the more I learned about the B property, it was cheaper, it was easier. The realtor was emailing us saying, oh, please tell us what you need. We will help you. This and this. I'm thinking, I'm saying, what am I doing wrong here? So anyway, the point is that I would never make any decision without consulting Sheikh Zulfikar. I would not make any decision without consulting Sheikh Zulfikar. Now, I could say to myself that I already asked him this question. So I could make my own interpretation, right? But I learned very long time ago that I'm always under the shade of my Shaykh. I'm not going to make any decision, even if it seems obvious, because I cannot see what he can see. So I call up Sheikh, so I'm trying to get in touch with Sheikh Zulfikar frantically because we're under a time crunch, and this is yesterday, the day before yesterday. I'm dialing, I'm getting every single number. He happens to be in Zambia. I get Mawlana Sheikh Saad's number, this person's number, Sheikh Kamal's number, who's sitting over there. I'm trying to call all these numbers, I'm calling his number, calling all these numbers, calling any way I can find him because I'm under this time crunch. Every 5 minutes I'm dialing over hours. So finally, I get through Sheikh Zulfikar's phone and he picks up the phone. So he says, "Assalamu alaikum." I say, "Wa alaikum salam, Hazrat. This is Hussein from Chicago. And I was wondering if I can have a minute of your time to run this issue by you. We've come to this situation." And in my mind, it was slam dunk, easy decision that I should go after the more expensive property. So I say, "Hazrat, there's this really good opportunity. It just fell in our laps. It's this many millions of dollars. And, you know, Hazrat, it has this many parking spots and it has this much space and it's right in the center of the place where there's no masjid. Then it would be a great opportunity to develop the community and also to carry on with our efforts." And so I'm explaining everything. And he says, "Yeah, what was the price?" So I said, "You know, this many millions of dollars." So he says, "Yeah, but too expensive." Okay. Now the funny thing is the phone line is horrible, okay? I mean, it's Africa, Zambia. So it's a cell phone, beyond that. And I'm on my AT&T landline. You know, I'm not going to take a chance even to be on anything mobile. I'm on my AT&T international $3.99 a minute landline, you know, full force. I'm not making sure that I got the best line possible. So the funny thing is, you know, I'm so set on this thing. And it was a slam dunk. I was going to jump on it. And he says, "Yeah, but too high." Okay, now what happens? The phone, the mobile phone, captures that statement and begins to play it back over and over and over again. So I'm listening on the phone and it says, "Yeah, but too high." And then I say, "Hazrat," I mean, my heart stopped. My face, my jaw dropped to the table. And then I'm thinking, I better quickly run the other one by him before we run out of time. And I'm kicking myself inside it. Then I say, "Hazrat, there's another problem." And I hear this, "Yeah, but too high." Like, you know, you can't clearly make out what he's saying. And I'm thinking he's trying to say something to me. I'm saying, Hazrat, but there's this other property. I hear this, "Yeah, but too high." And then I just stop talking and I put it on speaker. And my wife is sitting there and it just keeps saying, "Yeah, but too high. Yeah, but too high. Yeah, but too high." And I needed to be smacked in my face with that statement a few times because I needed to reset. And one time wasn't going to reset me for sure. So it's this, "Yeah, but too high. Yeah, but too high." My son is laughing his head off. Zachariah is there. He's laughing his head off. And my wife is listening. And, you know, we're just, she hands me her cell phone. She's like, try this, you know. So I get through to him again. Second time I get through to him, he said, I can only say a few words. And he says, "Yeah, but sounds like the price is three times what it should be. Too high." And then again, "Yeah, but three times too high." "Yeah, but three times too high." So I'm like, "Subhanallah, this is not good." Now I'm frantically dialing Sheikh Saad's number, Mufti Kamal's number, et cetera, I'm trying to get through anyway. Finally, after another half an hour, I get through Sheikh Saad's phone. So Sheikh Saad picks up the phone and I say, "Are you with Hazrat? I need to talk to him right away. This is really important." He's like, no, we're outside the room. And Hazrat's resting. I said, no, there's no way he's resting. I just talked to him 20 minutes ago. And then he says, he said, "I could go in there if you tell me to go in there, but I don't have the courage to just walk in the room and check if he's resting." So he gives the phone to Mufti Kamal. So I said, "Is there anybody with guts in the room there that has the ability to go in that room and check for me? Because this is really important." So he gives the phone to Mufti Kamal. Mufti Kamal comes on the phone. So he says that, he's whispering to me. He's like, "Do you want me to go inside?" I'm also whispering, "Yes, go inside." Why I'm whispering, I don't know. I'm sitting in the way of Chicago. But so he goes in and he checks and Hazrat's out, resting, you know, because he had basically been up all night. He had just arrived. So now, you know, I'm running this phrase through my mind all night. It's torture. "Yeah, but too high. Yeah, but too high." I'm thinking, you know, I messed up everything. That guy was calling me. The other place was calling me. But I didn't even get to present it properly to Hazrat Ji. That one doesn't have, the less expensive one doesn't have any parking, doesn't have good parking. There's this problem, there's that problem. So finally, The next morning, so then finally I tell Mufti Kamal, I say, you know, whenever you get the chance, you text me that that Hazrat's available and that I can call on your phone, because his phone was very clear for some reason. So I said, let me call on your phone, and then you hand the phone to him. So finally I get this text message that, you know, he's available, and then I call on the phone and he hands the phone to Hazrat, and then I say, you know, Hazrat, this is the situation. If I can have a minute of your time, I just wanted to give you all the background. This is this property. This has this many spaces. This is what I was thinking. And then, no, you should stay down here. And then the second, then I start explaining the second property. I say, this is a situation with this property. The parking is an issue. This is an issue. This is an issue. And then he says that, you know, you should wait. You should not go after the more expensive one, because he's asking three times what the price should be. And the funny thing is, he is sitting in Zambia. He has no idea even where, what I'm talking about as far as, quote, you know, the quote-unquote visible, right? He has no idea where this is, what suburb it's in, what it looks like. But he's on the mark that it's exactly three times too much. It's way too much. The guy is clearly asking double or triple too much. And we had come to that conclusion. He came to that conclusion in a second. Right? Spiritually. So, regardless, then I start presenting the second one to him, and he really likes it. You know, it's not millions, it's hundreds of thousands, and it's in many ways, it has a lot of the features that we're looking for, you know, that would be beneficial for the community, essentially, because that's what we're trying to benefit. So, he says, make your first choice this one, which I was calling B, which now became A. And he said, then you can see what happens, and if you need B, we can talk about the second one. So I frantically go into overdrive, because, you know, now everything has totally changed. All the discussions, all the plans, everything has totally changed. So now we quickly, within a very short period of time, we basically start preparing an offer, start planning, start talking about the fundraising, start contacting the donors, you know, as fast as possible. And then we basically present the offer to this individual. So when we first went, there was nobody there. There was nobody on the table. They were ready to negotiate and go after anything. And now he says to me, thank you for the offer. We have four more offers. And we are going to sit down and we are going to analyze all the offers, and we're going to make a decision based on which is the best for us. I felt so bad. I felt so bad, because I'm sitting there thinking, SubhanAllah, I messed up everything. I had that clear shot at that place, and I started going here, and I misinterpreted, you know, Hazrat's original statement. And now I'm stuck with this four, I have to deal with four offers, and, you know, who knows what the situation would have been, etc. So I'm thinking through, I'm kicking myself, I'm worried, going there, asking everybody to make du'a, etc. And so anyway, you know, we don't have the final resolution of what's going to happen, but the point, you know, at least at this point, it seems extremely favorable in our way, and Sheikh Zulfikar is making dua, which makes me only that much more confident, and it's from his mashura again, which again makes me that much more confident. But the lesson that I learned, which I knew, but maybe I got reminded of, is that we are always dependent on the shade of our Mashiach. We're not independent. We're not free. Even no matter how old we get, no matter how much we think we know, no matter how confident we are about how obvious the circumstance is, there's always barakah in making mashura. There's always barakah in consultation. Look, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to gather his companions together and used to consult with them. Why does the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for whom the whole universe was created, why does he need to consult with companions? Whatever he would have said, the companions would have done. But there's barakah in consultation. There's barakah in consultation. And so, even if we think things to be obvious, and I've shared many examples with you over the past about my job and about my circumstance and about my housing and about where to live and now about this project, even if something seems obvious and it's based on what we already asked, right? Because I had already asked this question, I'd already been basically schooled on this principle. The first time when I was in Dubai, we should always check and recheck our work. There's always barakah in taking consultation. And I'm very, 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 very hopeful that this will turn out positively. And it seems to be heading that way. But the point remains is that I could have made a very big mistake if I hadn't called. I would have certainly made a big mistake because I was 125% convinced, and I had convinced everybody around me because I had just quoted the previous incident. And I think back, and I think this whole thing of this "yeah, but too high" recording that keeps playing, I needed that. I needed to hear it three times. I didn't need to hear it once. I needed to hear it three times because I was that much convinced that that was actually the better way, the better better step to take in this particular circumstance. But we should remember that we're always dependent. It doesn't matter who you are. Even if you are the Khalifa of a sheikh or the graduate of an institution or even the high-level professor in a particular field, you always benefit from consultation. You always benefit from consultation. And just to give you an example, even in my medical practice, there are some things which to me are slam dunk obvious. But sometimes, even when something is slam dunk obvious, I'll take it and show it to somebody else who's senior to me. And when I take it and show it to somebody else senior than me, they look at it and they say something that shows me that I would have made a mistake. Not a mistake, but a misinterpretation. We're always learning from those who have more experience than us, and the circumstances are always changing. So sure, we have these principles, and one day I won't have that shade over my head, and so I'll be forced to make those decisions on my own. I don't know when that day will be, but it'll come eventually. But at this point in time, when the opportunity exists, we should take advantage of it. And so all of us should recognize that. You know, our parents are shades. When we bounce something off of them, we benefit from that, even if we think they know nothing about it. Our mashayikh are shades. Our elders are shades. Our ulama are shades. And when we bounce something off each of them, we take benefit from that. And so we shouldn't shoot ourselves in the foot and make wrong decisions, because a lot of times we'll make wrong decisions and we live with the consequences of those decisions for decades. Sometimes it takes decades to unravel the mistakes that we make. And they're easily avoidable if we would have just sought the consultation of somebody that was above us, even if it's clear-cut obvious. Slam dunk, clear-cut obvious. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He make us among those who are able to have a shade over our heads. And we ask that He make us among those who have the wisdom to consult with those that keep shade over our head. And we ask that He make us among those who have the opportunity to serve His deen in each and every way. وآخر الدعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين